Bless you, man. Thank you so much. Turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, please. The book of Ruth, chapter 4. You get to this part of a book, and it's a happy time. At the same time, it's a sad time because, God willing, we'll be finishing the book of Ruth this morning. It's been a great journey. I hope you feel the same way about it. We've come to Ruth, chapter 4, verse number 1. As you know, Ruth is our Old Testament book, so the Lord's will be laying another Old Testament book on my heart. If you'd like to make a plug for one, just make it anonymous or whatever you want to do. Call me or send me a note or something. But I guarantee I'm going to try to follow the Lord in it all. And whichever book he has to go to next, that's up to him. Ruth chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here, and they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning the redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. I want to draw your attention to a phrase that's given in verse 5 and it's repeated again in verse number 10. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth the Moabitess. Let's pray together and I share this thought with you. Father, we love you this morning. Help us, I pray, to be clean in your presence. If there's anything in my life that's hindering you, would you forgive me, remove it, get it out? Help us to serve you from our hearts today. Bless this message. Thank you for this wonderful book. There's no way that we can fully exhaust any book of the Bible, and I know that we've not exhausted this one, but Lord, I pray that you help me to preach the message that you've laid on my heart. Speak to our hearts and challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this final chapter in this glorious book, let me say it's been a blessed journey. What a book this one is. We've seen Elimelech and his family leaving the will of God during a time of famine. And during this time outside of the will of God, Elimelech passed away. After his death, the two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, married two women in Moab, Ruth and Orpah. Then we saw these boys died in the land of Moab as well. After this, Naomi arose to return to Bethlehem, Judah. She had heard that God had visited his people and gave them bread. As she journeyed, Ruth and Orpah were traveling with her, and she tells them to go home to their families. Orpah listened to her and went back to her people and gods she's never heard of again. However, Ruth refused to leave Naomi. She chose the living God and went with her mother-in-law, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi wanted to change her name to Mara, which meant bitter. Things weren't looking good and great in Naomi's eyes. However, in chapter 2, we were introduced to the man named Boaz of the family of Elimelech. He was a mighty man of wealth, and Ruth, in this second chapter, asked Naomi to go and glean in the field of one who would show her grace. That day, she just so happened, the Bible says, her hap was to fall into the field of this man, Boaz. When Boaz came to his fields that day, he noticed her. and he asked whose she was. When he was told she was the Moabitess girl that came back with Naomi, he called out to her and told her to stay in this field and drink of the water that his young men had drawn. She fell on her face and recognized his grace in her life. He goes a step further and invites her to his own table, where he reached her food from his own hand. After this, he told his servants to let her get closer to the sheaves and let handfuls of purpose to fall for her. She went home that day with plenty for her and Naomi wanted to know who the man was who had shown her favor. And when Ruth told her it was a man named Boaz, Naomi knew that he was near of kin to them. Here was a glimmer of hope in the eyes and lives of these two dear ladies who had their hopes and hearts ripped out in the land of Moab. However, here was a man who could possibly redeem them. In chapter 3, we saw Naomi seeking rest for Ruth, sending her to the feet of Boaz to ask him to receive her as his bride. She went that night and laid down at his feet, and at midnight he noticed a woman at his feet, not knowing who she was. Ruth identified herself and asked him to receive her and to be her redeemer. He told her that he would be willing to be her kinsman redeemer, but he had to check with a nearer kinsman first. Early the next morning, she went to her mother-in-law and told her all that had happened that night. Naomi then told her to sit still, for Boaz would not rest until he had finished the thing that day. Now get it, the only reason Ruth, as we come to chapter 4, the only reason Ruth could rest is because Boaz would not. Now this is where we pick up our story here in the final chapter. Now, in those summary paragraphs there, I preached on all of that in detail. You can go back and get it. But this is where we pick up our story here in the final chapter. What would happen next? What would happen with the nearer kinsman? What would Boaz end up doing? Would Ruth and Boaz end up together? Well, let's look and see. Now, with these questions, I want to draw our attention to the phrase, Ruth the Moabitess, used in verses 5 and 10. And I want to notice several things about her and what happened with and to her in this final chapter with Boaz. Now, here's how I want you to listen to this message. Because remember again, I think I said this last week, and I know I said it in Sunday school this morning. Learn to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. In other words, don't be guilty of just coming and saying, well, I went to church, he preached about this, I learned some things about Ruth. Forget all of that. What is God telling you? What is God speaking to you about? So as we look at Ruth the Moabitess, I want you to think of yourself. Because understand this morning, that if you're saved today, these three things apply to your life. And you ought to shout the victory. But if you are not saved, these three things are available for you this morning. So I hope that if you're saved, you get encouraged to do something for God who has been so good to you. And if you're not saved, I hope you're encouraged to trust Him today to see what you're missing out on. Now, there's three things about Ruth the Moabitess I want to bring out in this chapter. Number one, we notice Ruth the Moabitess, first of all, redeemed by Boaz. Now, in verses 1 to 12, Boaz goes to the gate and sits down. Now, the gate is the place where business was done back in this day. When he saw the nearer kinsman come by, he called out to him and asked him to sit down. This is all in verses 1 to 12 here. Now, along with this kinsman, he asked 10 witnesses to come, the elders, as witnesses to sit down between him and this nearer kinsman. Boaz proceeded to tell this man about Naomi's land that he could redeem. Now, it's interesting that he's not said anything about Ruth here. He simply brings out that Naomi has some land that she's had to get rid of, and would he be willing to redeem it? The man told Boaz that he would redeem the land. However, Boaz, it's like he had this other bullet in his back pocket, if you will. No doubt Boaz was hoping this man would say, no, I'm not going to redeem it. Boaz is in love with Ruth, my friends. He wants to redeem her. So you can imagine when he starts out with saying this land needs to be redeemed, and the man said, I'll redeem it. Can't you just sense the heart of Boaz kind of sinking a little bit? Then he says, oh, now this is not in your King James Version, but he says, oh, I forgot to tell you. that whenever you buy the land of Naomi, you've also got right here, you have to redeem Ruth, because the understanding here is that when Elimelech died, that land that was his heritage passed on to Mahlon, who married Ruth. And we see that Ruth now has part of this inheritance. So he's saying, oh, here's what you got to do. You got to redeem the land, but also you've got to redeem Ruth. When the man heard this, he said, I can't redeem it lest I mar my own inheritance. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to gamble my children's inheritance for some Moabite. Now, are you with me so far? Now, whenever this happened here, he told Boaz, he said, I can't do that. But you can. So what happened, in order to confirm an agreement that he was not able, but Boaz was, he took a shoe off and gave it to Boaz. Now, this being the case, what this was like is this was like signing a contract, if you will. Now, I may preach the rest of the day in one shoe, or I may not, because I don't want you to be looking at my foot, okay? But what I want you to understand here is that when this transaction took place, and this nearer kinsman, we do not have his name. Some people say it pictures the law. Some people say the 10 witnesses are a picture of the 10 commandments. We don't know that for sure, my friends. Now, all I'm saying to you is this. I'm not going to dwell on what I don't know. I'm going to dwell on what I do know. And what I do know is that there's three things about Ruth the Moabitess. And the first thing we're looking at, she was redeemed by Boaz. And what we see in this is that this nearer kinsman here, he said, I cannot redeem her. I cannot do that. And I'm going to give you my shoe to tell you that. Now, can't you just see Boaz taking that shoe, putting it under his arm? Now, here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. As Boaz is given the shoe, he is given the opportunity to redeem Ruth. Now, with this being the case, the question is, what will he do? Will Boaz redeem Ruth? And obviously, you already know what he does. Immediately after this, nearer kinsman gave Boaz his shoe. Boaz called on the witnesses. This is all in the first 12 verses. Here. And he said, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, all that was Mahlon's. Then he turned his attention unto Ruth, the Moabitess. And he said, you're witnesses also that I have purchased Ruth to be my wife. In other words, Boaz had not only the right to redeem, he not only had the ability to redeem. This is what a kinsman redeemer had to be. He had to have the right. Boaz had it, had to have the ability, Boaz had it. He had to have the will to do it, Boaz had it, but he also had to pay the price. And my friends, that's exactly what Boaz did. He reached into his pockets and he paid the price to redeem Ruth. Glorious day for Ruth. I mean, here's this Moabite damsel who has turned her back on her people, turned her back on her false gods. She has submitted to the Lord God of Israel, and now she is in the family of God. And yet, here is her kinsman redeemer. She had come to this man named Boaz, and she had asked him to redeem her, and he did not, and right here, he did just that. He had paid the price to make her his very own. You know what the word redeem means? It means to set free by paying a price. And I'm telling you that there can be no redemption without paying of a price. This is what Boaz had just done for Ruth. He had reached into his mighty wealth and he had given of himself to make Ruth his very own. Get this, nothing else needed to be done. Boaz did everything necessary. Now, does this sound familiar to anybody? All I'm saying to you is praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ has the shoe of everything and everybody who could never redeem our souls. I mean every single thing and every single person, baptism included, good works included, denomination included, religion included, have taken their shoe off and given it to Jesus Christ. They have said, I cannot redeem the souls of man. But they've recognized you can. He's holding the shoe of everything else. But the question is will he do it? Will he do it? I'm telling you that we were born as servants of sin, Romans 6:20. But the precious Lord Jesus is our heavenly Boaz. He is our kinsman redeemer. He, like Boaz, has done everything necessary to redeem our souls and set us free. May I tell you that just as Boaz was qualified, so is Jesus Christ to be the redeemer of our soul. Hebrews 2:14 to 17. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Philippians 2:7 and 8, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Galatians 4:4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I'm telling you that just like Boaz was related and he was qualified to redeem Ruth, Jesus Christ has made himself related to us. He became like us, so he is qualified to be our redeemer. Number two, he's not only qualified, but secondly, he was able and is able to be our redeemer. In other words, Boaz, God bless his heart here now, folks. He was qualified, but the second thing about him, he was well able to redeem. In other words, it's one thing to be qualified. It's another thing to have the means to redeem. And I'm telling you that Boaz was rich enough to redeem the land. He was rich enough to redeem Ruth. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ came made of the woman. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was therefore qualified as the God-man to redeem. But glory to God, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm telling you this morning that he's not only qualified, he is able to save souls. I don't care who you are, what you've done, he is able to redeem you. Number three, Boaz. We're looking at that Ruth the Moabitess. She was redeemed by Boaz. And in order to be redeemed by Boaz, he had to be qualified. He had to have the ability to do it. Number three, he had to be willing to do it. Boaz was willing to pay the price. And I'm telling you, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Excuse me, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad Jesus was willing to die for you? Aren't you glad he was willing to pay the price? Hey, he had the price to pay. He had the sufficient means to get the job done. But he went a step further when he didn't have to. And he said, I don't only have it, I want to do it. You ought to stand in awe. I ought to stand in awe of our God right there. We nailed him to the cross. And yet he, in his sovereign grace, if you will, said, I am not only able to do it, I'm willing to go and get it done. But then there's a fourth thing. This is where the literal redemption comes in. Boaz not only had to be qualified, he not only had to have the ability and the will, but number four, he had to literally pay the price. When Boaz said, you're witnesses this day, I have bought everything. Then he said, I have purchased Ruth. You know what that means? That means he paid the price to get it done. And in the same way, Jesus Christ was not only qualified in that he became man. He was not only able in that he has all the ability to save to the uttermost. He was not only willing in that it's not his will that any should perish. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Anybody hearing the price coming out in these verses? But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The first thing we've noticed about Ruth the Moabitess is that she was redeemed by Boaz. That means that Boaz was qualified to redeem her. He was able to redeem her. He was willing to redeem her. And he paid the price for her redemption. In the same way, we who've been saved, Jesus Christ was qualified to redeem us. We were sold under sin. Remember, redeem is to set free by paying a price, to buy back. And when you were born, you were sold and you were standing on the slave block of sin. And yet Jesus Christ came to be born of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, he is qualified to be the redeemer of man's soul. Number two, he is able to redeem the soul of man. There is no case too hard for him. He can save anybody who calls upon him. He has the ability to do it. Number three, he is willing to pay the price. He came. But then number four, if he had gone all the way to Calvary, and if he had called those angels, his qualification, his ability, and his will would not have redeemed us. He had to pay the price. And the price is without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus Christ, when they nailed his hands, that blood came out of him. The blood came out of his side mixed with water. The blood came out of his back. The blood came down on his brow. And that precious blood, he was paying the price to buy you off the slave block of sin. He paid the price to redeem us. I'm reminded of the story. There was a little boy who had a boat. I've given this story before, but some of you haven't heard it. If you have, just amuse me and act like you haven't. A little boy had a boat. He built it himself. He made it. He created it. He labored hard to build it and paint it. He was so proud of his boat. And one day while he was playing with his boat, the boat went out of his reach in the water and kind of disappeared. Somebody else found his boat later and took it to a toy store and sold it to the man there. One day, while this little boy who had lost his boat that he created was walking down the street, and he stopped at the window of that toy shop, and he saw his boat in that shop. He knew it because he made it. He knew what it looked like. He knew his mark on it. You see what I'm saying? He went in and he said, sir, he said, that's my boat. I want it back. But the manager, obviously he wouldn't believe it. And he told the boy that if he wanted the boat, he would have to pay the price that's hanging on it. Now keep in mind, he made it. But now if he wanted it back, he had to buy it. The price tag was $2. The boy went out and worked and earned $2, came back and bought his boat. And as the boy walked out the door, he hugged his boat to himself and he said this, and I quote, "Now are you twice mine, little boat. I made you and I bought you." You know, this is a beautiful picture of what Christ has done. The Bible says that in the beginning God created. And may I tell every one of us that we are already His by creation. He made you. He created you. He put you together, the Bible says, in your mother's womb. We are His by creation. Because of sin, He didn't lose us, we lost ourselves. And because of our sin, there's a price tag that hangs on sin. Death, blood, perfection. Jesus Christ, who created us, has stepped out of the portals of glory, and He has been perfect. He has shed blood, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again. And if you're saved today, He looks at you and says, "Now you belong to me twice. I created you. Now I've bought you." You know the great thing about our Lord? Makes no difference how broken the toy is. He still wants it back. You ever heard this? "God's not going to save me. I've been too bad. You don't know how bad I've been. All I know is this. He loves what He created. He loves His creation. And He looks at them and He says, I want you. I want you back." Who in their right mind would stay on the slave block of sin with all the emptiness and debauchery and wickedness and end up, if they stay on that slave block of sin, that every one of them are, pardon the illustration, but on a conveyor belt that are on their way to the fire. And yet the blessed Son of God is standing right in front of them and saying, "I'm able to take you off there. I'm willing to do it. Oh, and by the way, I've already paid the price for you." Glory to God. If you're saved today, that's what He did for you, my friends. Don't you think you ought to try to live for Him now? If you're not saved, He's pleading, "Come to me. I want you for my own." Number one, Ruth the Moabitess, she was redeemed by Boaz. Number two, she was received as bride. We see this in verse number 13. Look at it. The Bible says, "So Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife." Now, you know the interesting thing here? The second major thing we see concerning Ruth the Moabitess is how after she was bought, Boaz came to Ruth and took her and she became his wife. You know what this word "took" means? It means to carry away. It means to fetch. It means to come and get. Anybody know where I'm going with this? All I'm saying to you is this. Boaz bought her, but it was a while. Don't know how long it was, whether it was later that day or later that night or next week. We don't know. But then he went and got her and married her. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In this, we see that Ruth was no longer known as Ruth the Moabitess. Matter of fact, you see in verse number 13, it doesn't say, so Boaz took Ruth the Moabitess. Doesn't say that. She's not the Moabitess any longer. She's now the wife of Boaz. And I'm telling you, she's the wife of the wealthy Boaz who redeemed her. She's gone from rags to riches. In the opening chapter of this book, we see Ruth, an outsider and a stranger, but she ends up having Boaz as her very own. In the opening chapter, we have a funeral, but the closing chapter, we have a wedding. Glory to God. Someone may be wondering if it was right for Boaz to marry Ruth, who was a Moabite. However, we know that Ruth had turned her back on her people and her gods and had turned wholeheartedly to the God of Israel. At the same time, here's something that came out in my study. Maybe you've never seen it. I didn't really think about it until I was studying. But as I was studying, something interesting came out about Boaz. You know what it is? It's found in Matthew chapter 1. Don't turn to it. But you know who we find out his mother was? You know who Boaz's mother was? Rahab, the Gentile harlot. And may I tell you that Boaz had both Jew and Gentile blood flowing through his veins? And may I tell you that maybe that's the reason he didn't mind to take a Gentile bride? I'm telling you, in the same way that Jesus Christ, he has Jew, he has Gentile alike, he saves everybody, my friends. And I'm telling you that when you turn to Matthew chapter 1 and you see the lineage of Christ, I'm talking about the Messiah, you will see the name Rahab, you will see the name Ruth. And I'm telling you, aren't you glad that even though we're Gentile, if you're Gentile, that Jesus didn't exclude us? He's included us in the greatest salvation that's ever been known to man. I'm telling you. And I'm saying here that just when Boaz turned to the witnesses and he said, now you've witnessed this, you see this, I have bought her, I have redeemed her, there was a time lapse before he went to marry her. What do you think that's a picture of? That's a picture of the rapture, my friends. And I'm telling you, That it's the same way with a child of God. We who have been saved, we have already been bought. We've already been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But praise God, one day he's coming to take us away. He's coming to catch us away, to carry us away. I'm telling you that he is going to take Jew and Gentile, and I'm telling you, in his lineage and right here, he's going to take us home and he's going to marry us some glorious day. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. I'm telling you that just like Boaz bought her, then he came and got her, and when he got her, he married her. When you got saved, Jesus bought you. He redeemed you. Now you're waiting for him to come and get you, and when he comes to get you, he's going to marry us some glorious day. You are his wife. You are part of his bride. If you are saved in the church age, you are part of the bride of Christ, and he is as sure to come get us as Boaz came and got Ruth. And when he comes to get us, he's going to take us as his own. I'm telling you, it's looking mighty good for the child of God. I'm telling you that one day you're going to see him face to face, and one day you're going to literally be married. Really, you already are. But I'm talking about the marriage supper and all these kind of things. What a glorious future is ahead for the child of God. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Number one, Ruth the Moabitess, she was redeemed by Boaz. Number two, she was received as bride. Then number three, we see the third thing about Ruth the Moabitess. She was rewarded with a boy. We see this in verses 13 to 22. Now, I'm not going to read it all. As a matter of fact, let's just read it. It's not that much reading. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, and thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. The women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. It's no coincidence that the last word mentioned in the book is David. And the final thing we see about Ruth the Moabitess in this chapter, carrying us through the end of the book, is how the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. We see in the following verses how this child was named Obed. Later, he was the father of Jesse, who was to be the father of David, in which the lineage of the Messiah is found. In other words, we see the Lord taking Ruth, the Moabitess, and allowing her to be placed in the family line of the Godchild. What amazing grace. When Boaz redeemed and received her, we see she was made part of the family line of Christ. What a fitting way to end the book with the boy named David being the last word in the book. You know, in the same way, because really we're not going to turn to it for time's sake, but if you turn to Matthew chapter 1, you'll find the name Ruth in the lineage of Christ. And what I'm saying to you is that in the same way, we who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we have also been graciously included in the family of God. We also been placed into the family of the Lord. We have been rewarded and blessed by God. This is only due to the amazing grace of Almighty God in our lives. Praise the Lord for His working in our lives. In this book, we saw a family falling apart. However, this book revealed how God can take tragedy and turn it into triumph. He allowed this Moabite damsel by the name of Ruth to meet Boaz, who redeemed her and married her and included her in the family of God. I'm telling you, only the Lord can do something like that. Only the Lord. So what am I saying this morning? I'm asking, have you been redeemed by Jesus Christ? You need it, but have you been redeemed by Him? Have you made the decision to accept His redemption for you? He's already paid the price. Will you receive Him as your Savior? If so, He'll redeem you. And then just a little while, He'll come and receive you and marry you. But because He redeemed you, He wants to put you into the family line, spiritually speaking, of God. So, who's your family line? Does your family line end with Jesus Christ and therefore heaven for all eternity? Or does your family line still end with Adam and therefore end in spiritual death? If you have been redeemed, how can you apply this to your life where your heart ought to say, Glory to God for what He's done for me? And then you ought to be willing to do anything He asks you to do. But if you've never been saved, the Bible says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open. He said, I will come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. Ruth, the Moabitess, we see her redeemed by Boaz, received as bride, and rewarded with a boy. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Help us now, I pray. May the will of God be done. And as we've come to the end of this book, the end of this wonderful, glorious book on redemption, help those maybe who have never been saved to trust you today. And we who have been redeemed, help us to give you our lives after all you've done for us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. You say, Jody, I've been redeemed. Understand what I'm asking. Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm not asking, have you joined a church? I'm not asking, have you turned over a new leaf? I'm not asking any of that. I'm asking, have you been redeemed? See, there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself. There was nothing Ruth could do to redeem herself, nothing. Ruth needed Boaz or somebody else who was near of kin to redeem her. It was out of her hands. Folks, spiritually speaking, it's out of your hands too. You cannot redeem yourself. Only Jesus can do that, and the fact is he already has. He's already paid the price. Have you received him? Please don't condemn yourself, but you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad I'm saved. I've received Christ as my Savior. Glory to God. I'm a child of God. Would you raise your hand? You say, I'm glad I can raise my hand to this. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Maybe there's one here today say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that. I cannot raise my hand to that, but I'd like to. If you say, I need to be saved, would you raise your hand now? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, you say, Jody, I need this redemption. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. But he has died for you. He wants to redeem you. Will you let him? If you raise your hand to that question, you want to be redeemed. You're not, but you want to be. Would you lift your eyes and look at me, please? You say, Jody, I need to be saved. I'd like you to look right up here at me if you wouldn't mind. There's a place for you. God wants to redeem you today. But you must accept him as your Savior. I hope you'll come. Let us take a Bible and share it with you. Have you say, Jody, I'm in the family line. And I realize that Jesus is going to come and take me away one of these days. Just like Boaz told the witnesses, hey, you've witnessed this. I've bought her. Then he went and got her. When he went and got her and fetched her away, he married her. What a day that's going to be in the future. Amen. Maybe God's speaking to you about trying to get other people in, telling them the gospel story. Maybe God's speaking to you about things that he wants you to do for him. He's been good to you, and he wants you to do something for him. Or maybe there may be somebody here today, and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I've been redeemed. I'm a child of God, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's something in my life that's falling apart. It might be a tragedy. It might be a trial. It might be a health situation. It might be a problem. It's nobody's business what it is, but you say, Jody, there's something in my life that's falling apart. Spiritually speaking, I am still in chapter 1 of Ruth where the funeral processions have been taking place. And you say, Jody, if what you say is true, and it is, that God can take tragedy and trials and turn them into triumph. So I'm a Christian, but that's what I need. I'm saved, but I need God to turn this into triumph for me. Is there one today? Say, Jody, pray for me. My life's been torn up. Something in it. You say, pray for me. I need God to step in. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. Other hands? Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. I'm going to ask you to come and pray and talk to God about it. Because the book of Ruth is a living example of how God can take trouble and turn it exactly into the opposite. Here's a girl who her life had been stripped out from under her in chapter 1. But now she's given the mighty man of wealth, Boaz, in chapter 4. Maybe you need God to help you from chapter 1 to chapter 4 to be faithful and to turn your tragedy to triumph. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way. May souls be saved, lives be changed. We love you this day in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somebody needs to be saved, you come today. Somebody needs their life being torn apart to be put back together, you come. Somebody may need to come and say, you know, I've been coming here for a while and I feel like God may be leading me to join this church. I wouldn't encourage first-time guests or anything like that to do that. But if you're here and you've been coming for a little while or something, you say, I believe God's leading me here. Then you come, whatever it is, as Brother Gary sings, you come, you leave your place as he sings. Come on, come on now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come, O Lamb of God, I come.
We're playing through softly, folks are praying. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Some messages when you preach through a book is just encouraging messages. If you've been saved, hey, this has happened to you. In other words, this message today, if you're saved, all these things has happened to you, my friends. You've been redeemed by Boaz. His name is Jesus. You're going to be received as bride one of these days. You're already engaged to him, if you will. You're already his bride. He's going to come and take us home to be with him. And he's going to marry us some glorious day. Isn't that great? He's rewarded with a boy. You say, what's that mean? That means this. Just like physically speaking, Ruth was placed into the lineage of Christ, God, through her union with Boaz. If you've been united with Christ, he's also spiritually speaking put you into the lineage of God. You are in his family line. That's the message. I hope you got it. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. What am I supposed to do with it?
Well, you ought to rejoice in it. Wouldn't you agree with that? You ought to be willing to be receptive to anything he tells you. You mean he did that for me? He's going to do that for me. I'm in God's family. What's he want me to do? I'll be happy to do anything he wants me to do. Learn to take this and apply it, my friends. Apply it. What's God telling you to do with this? Could he be telling you, hey, what I did with you, I'm not willing that anybody else perish either? Tell somebody about me this week. See what I've done for you. I want to do it for them. I want to do it for your coworkers. I want to do it for your classmates, your teammates, your husband, your wife, your family. You tell them about it. You keep it up. I don't know how God's speaking. I'm kind of sharing with you some ways he's sharing with me here. He's been so good to me. What in the world can I do for him? I want to do something. Don't you want to do something for him after he's been so good to you? This is what I'm talking about. Amen. Glory. Someday we're going to see our heavenly Boaz. He's going to split the eastern sky. And when he does, oh, have we given him our all? Have we done what he's told us to do? This is what we're talking about. Let's sing one more verse of scripture, Brother Gary. Well, it's not scripture, but just sing one more verse there. Something.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. I come.
We've got folks praying. We're dismissed, but I want us to pray and then leave very quietly. Folks are being dealt with at the altar. I want to give them time. I don't want them to feel rushed. So that's why I'm dismissing. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother Jamie Pendleton, sir, if you wouldn't mind to pray for us. And then as soon as he says amen, speak to each other, be friendly to each other. First-time guests, take your card out to the Welcome Center. If you wouldn't mind to kind of make your way quietly out so these dear folks can have some privacy, okay? Brother Jamie, sir, please.